Well, I don't know anyone that celebrates April the 15th as a holiday. That's funny. You're supposed to laugh. Thank you. Thank you. Well, unless it's their birthday or anniversary. I don't know anyone who gets excited about paying their taxes. It's pretty clear that what our payment to Caesar is in the modern context. We get charts and deductions, and there's no doubt what it is that we owe the government at the end of each year. On the other hand, there's no set percentage that's taken out of our bank accounts for what we offer as from our worldly goods to God. So I hope that when we make our pledge, which will be coming up in a few weeks, to support God's work in the world, and also it has the power to provide resources in the church to make a difference for Christ and in the world, that we do it in the spirit of being joyful givers is so much more fun than worrying about it and moaning about it. I can't say I've ever been a joyful giver to the IRS, but I do find great joy in supporting the church. In today's gospel, once again, the powers that be are trying to discredit Jesus. They pose a question to him, and rather than fall into the trap of yes or no, either or, both of which would somehow discredit Jesus in the eyes of the Pharisees, he turns it into a teaching moment, a moment that clarifies how we as disciples can give to and function in a world that is fraught with corruption. Figuring out how to believe that God is the ruler of our world is sometimes not an easy task. How much time and energy are we to offer to trying to solve the political mess? And then how much trust do we have that God's got this? I've heard the question, where is God in all of this mess, much more frequently than I have in the past. It feels like to me anyway, that there's a power struggle between God and Caesar. Maybe not literally in our lives, but certainly in our hearts. In my heart, I struggle with trusting that God is indeed in the midst of all the chaos that's around us. Not only is God in the midst of it all, God is longing for us to speak his truth, and he trusts us to do that. Question is, do we trust God to do his job? In some ways, I was thinking about it, and this all feels like a giant trick or treat to make Jesus the king of our lives. Give me something, God, and I'll be loyal to you. Believe in you versus how can I believe in you? How can you let people starve and die? We trick God by turning our backs because he does not give us what we want. Threats are made. Tricks. I will leave the church. I'll stop making my pledge. We try to force God to prove that he is real, just as the Pharisees try to expose Jesus as a fraud. And they wanted Jesus to be accused of being an affront and a traitor to Caesar. So there is the question, if there is a God, why in the world is all the pain and suffering going on? Why is it happening? Why can't God just stop it? Well, see, my answer to that is, I don't know. But what I do know, that it's God that gets me through all my pain and suffering. If it wasn't for God, I'd be totally lost. We have to choose to believe that God is indeed present, even when we don't have tangible proof. When we call out to God, the word should not be, trick or treat, God. They should be, thank you, God, for giving us the treat of knowing you and the treat that you sent us, Jesus, our good shepherd. So just a minute for fun. I like to do this, talk about Halloween a little bit. And the history of Halloween. So in the 9th century, the Catholic Church was a little worried because the people, the converts, were still celebrating the pagan rituals, giving honor to this or that. And they wanted this to stop. So they decided that they would merge the popular pagan holidays with the church holidays. And Halloween was one of the ones that they merged. And it's called Hallowtide, which is October 31st, November 1st, and November 2nd. And the celebration, and I can't say this in Irish or Welsh or whatever, is Samhain, and I know that's not probably correct. I should have looked that up. Which was a celebration, a rather raucous celebration, of the beginning of fall, the end of the harvest. It was a time that there were tricks played on one another, and they believed that this was a time that the gods became visible to humankind, and that they played tricks on their mortal worshippers. Apparently, the celebration could be very dangerous and fearful. And there seemed to be all kinds of supernatural episodes. They celebrated the changing of the season, but during this celebration, they believed that this world and the next world became extremely thin so that they could connect with the dead. So I can kind of guess why the church wanted to re-steer people to thinking about the saints and those that go before us in the context of Christian worship. So we have All Saints Day on November 1st. And on that day, we remember all the saints and martyrs from Christian history. Then on All Souls Day, November 2nd, we commemorate those who have passed within the faith. All Souls Night was what the people thought was a time when the dead came to revisit where they lived, visit their homes. So people would put candles and food and drink out on the porch. Well, I think I know I'm a week early with all the Halloween trivia, but I find it to be such a fun holiday, I just couldn't resist. The world and the church clash in what and why we celebrate this holiday. But I find comfort in the celebration of the souls who have gone before us, indicating to me that indeed somehow we will reconnect with those that we have lost, that we miss in this world, that we will connect again in the eternal kingdom. But probably not on the front porch. Back to Jesus' gospel today. He teaches us that we have to be intentional about putting God as the ruler over our heads and lives, regardless of what anyone else might say. We have to live into what we believe is true, even when we're not sure, even when we doubt. We have to act like we do believe, and then act as God calls us to love others, including our enemies, and to live into the hope that is offered in the promise of the eternal kingdom. We pay taxes because we have to. We pledge to the church because we want to. And we claim Jesus as the head of our lives. Our psalm this morning looks forward to a time when God will come again. But we don't just sit around waiting or worrying about that or trying to fix what is broken. We need to, as the psalm tells us, sing and bless and celebrate the world and know that it is Jesus that will save us. not Caesar. And together we shall sing a new song. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all peoples. Amen. Please stand and profess our faith using the words of the night.